1. The night before last, a storm tore up a poplar tree and deposited it right on top of Leroy McGuff's dog kennel. Today, I watched from across the cul-de-sac while Leroy watered the rose bush he'd planted where the kennel used to be. He already had dozens of the thorny, bloomy plants lined up in an unnatural parade across his otherwise scrappy half acre of front yard. From my paused stance, I thought I could smell the sulfurous hose water all the way from the bottom of my driveway. As usual, McGuff's beer belly led him through a sort of slow-motion march as he made his way along the bushes, a cigarette dangling loosely from his lips. I blinked at the scene. What the fuck happened to the dogs? He started to turn, and I quickly redirected my gaze to the mailbox, busying myself with the extrication of junk letters so he wouldn't be tempted to return my ogling. Eyes to gravel, I readjusted the pile of mail under my arm and headed back up my driveway. I neglected to note the brightly decorated Patricia Murgatroyd as she emerged from the house next door. When she wasn't talking, she was an astoundingly silent person. "Johnny, yoo-hoo," she trumpeted. With her gossip-detecting third eye, she sensed me 50 yards away. I'd moved into the subdivision 3 months ago. I liked the big lots, and the houses were well back from the road. The dips and hills and uncommonly high number of trees increased the illusion of breathing space. Despite this, my privacy had become rather compromised of late. I mostly blamed the dead-end nature of the street and Patricia Murgatroyd. I smiled, my hand over my forehead to visor against the evening sun rays streaming from behind her. "Would you believe," she gasped, motoring toward me through the grass, "the deer haven't got my strawberries yet. I was going to make you a cobbler, dear, but I'm afraid I used them all for a batch of daiquiris instead. Would you like some? Strawberry daiquiri, I mean. I can bring it over. I know how you prefer your deck. And I'll bring glasses, too. I have some I don't think you've seen. They're from Spain, you know." She took a breath. "That man," she spat, looking behind me at Leroy McGuff's waterworks. "What's he up to now? It's a wonder she lets him out of the house looking like that. Besides which, it's indecent to use flowers that way." "Water them?" I queried, raising my eyeglasses to massage a temple. "Sell them, dear. He's in cahoots with that shady florist fellow down the road. The two of them have some sort of racket going on. Drug stuff, you know. I'm sure of it." She paused, heaving a breath and emanating a faint odor of stale rum and staler perfume. "I guess they can't all be as charming as you, Mr. Jepco. Daiquiris, then? I'll see you in 5. She beamed and turned tail, a svelte 60-year-old power walking back to her yard. Nobody ambushed like Patricia Murgatroyd. I circled my small house and followed the stone path around to the back, jogging up 2 steps to the elevated wooden deck. I deposited my mail on a wrought iron patio table before loosening my tie. Gray dust puffed skyward as I juggled charcoal from a bag into a grill in the corner. The muggy West Virginia heat lingered like an unwanted party guest. I reached up to plug in the string lights that hung crisscross from the rafters as the sun headed for the horizon. The wooden walls of the deck were 3.5 feet high, leading up to support posts and open air that I'd chosen not to screen in. I thought it might feel too much like a cage. I slid the unlocked glass door of my house open to let a shoddy calico cat blast out. In her wake, I ducked inside to get an ice bucket and a couple steaks.